This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron and John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Monday morning. Well, the weekend, we saw the Phils take 2 of 3. Now, obviously, one of them happened on Thursday, but they win on Saturday. They lose on Sunday. We'll react to the Phils' first series of the season, which did include a loss yesterday. Look, we'll also get to the home opener, which obviously is coming up in just a couple hours. Want to hear from you. If you are already tailgating! Seltzer, are you tailgating in there?
No. Yes, obviously. Ooh, well, every morning, right?
I know. If you're headed to the ballpark, all jokes aside, we want to hear from you.
Tush push. State of mind, Joe.
Yeah, well, that's right. Tush push could be on the way out. Could be on the way out. Look, we got a lot to do and all of it with you on the phone line today at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
There's a winery in Italy that has a fountain that continuously runs with red wine. This Dora wow. Sarchese Vineyard in the Abruzzo region of Italy has a free wine fountain that continuously flows with red wine from the grapes from those vineyards, and the tap is continuous, and the wine is free.
Well, that's pretty incredible.
All the time.
That's a great fact right there.
It's crazy.
I like that fact, man.
And it's not the first one. It's not the only one. There are other wine fountains in Spain.
Wow. Well, I like that more than the Phillies losing yesterday. And Aaron Nola not pitching well, and the Phils bats not doing much. All right, so there's a lot from the weekend to digest, obviously. Look, three big things today. You got the tush-push reality, you got the home opener, and then you got the weekend series. Let's start with the weekend, John. Because obviously we saw a lot of Phillies baseball. We'd waited about 6 months to see it. We want your impression at 215-592-9494. What stood out to you? There's a lot of ways to go here. John, what stood out to you from the Phillies' first weekend in D.C.?
I thought that the approach was good. You know, that's kind of what we're looking at, eyeing up, making sure that that's right for the journey that's about to ensue. And we're up at the top of baseball in walks right now. Fourth in baseball with 18 walks. That's right behind the Dodgers with 21.
Yep.
And that's a great sign, especially because we got two less games and 52 less at-bats than the Dodgers do.
Look at you doing all the math.
Think about that,
man. Look at you.
I mean, I get very early. They have five games. We have three
games. They're also 5-0.
They're 5-0. We're 2-1. Right. But the point is, you know, they're playing good baseball because their approach is good. Our approach is really good, too. And we need to take that in and recognize that. I thought it was great to see that Bryson Stott yesterday was able to poke that thing over the fence, right into the corner of the bullpen. And he said afterwards that he wouldn't have been able to do that last year with the state of the elbow the way that it was.
Yeah. So no, you mean Saturday. Just to clarify, you mean Saturday. It was Saturday's game.
Yeah. Okay.
I know they run together
sometimes.
It was Saturday. Yeah.
All right. You're right. I thought Stott and Marsh, you know, had some, you know, it was some positive stuff that we saw offensively. That was good to see. It's a bit of a concern that the runs came so late the entire series. The runs were later in games.
Yep.
Were the Nationals starting pitchers that good, or were we just a little lethargic? I think it's probably, you know, the pitching was really good. It felt like the pitching was locked in. And I thought, speaking of, you know, Luzardo was amazing. Luzardo was 11 strikeouts. I did not expect him to look that good.
Yeah, he was very impressive.
That sweeper was awesome, and it felt like no one could get a hold of that. You know, Aaron Nola then looked... They look like they want to go home in the third game of a series when they win the first two against an inferior opponent, and that bugs me. That, once again, it reared its ugly head yesterday, and we're three games into the season.
I didn't get that impression. What gave you that impression?
Well, it just always feels like this team, when we have two under our belt, no matter what, I have this sinking feeling like it doesn't mean as much to them as it does to me whether they win or not,
so,
even though it's this early.
I disagree with that. Look, I'm curious where everyone stands. I mean, we wait so long to see Phillies baseball, and we saw it the last, you know, three of the last 4 days. What stood out to you from that Phillies first weekend series in D.C.? The win, the loss. What hit you? 215-592-9494. I think the biggest thing that hit me, and I'm going to assume they make the playoffs, and maybe I shouldn't. As James has pointed out, there's three really good teams in the NL West. There's three really good teams in the NL East. And so, you know, one of them's not going to make the playoffs. So theoretically, that could be the Phils. But I do think the Phils will make the playoffs. What hit me the most over the weekend...
The Phils are a good team.
You know, I think they're a great team. What hit me the most over the weekend is how... I think it's going to be a vicious competition amongst the Phillies pitchers for who starts in the postseason. I mean, what really hit me was that Luzardo looked great and Nola didn't. And I love Aaron Nola, but let's be real, guys. He has had some up and down seasons in his career. He has had some dominant seasons. I think two of them, maybe three of them. But then he's had some other seasons that have been more on the pedestrian side. And I know Rob Thompson praised him after the game yesterday for the way he was throwing, and obviously the first three innings he was dealing. And it was a weird way to get into trouble in the fourth. I mean, you hit a guy on his back foot, and two batters later it's a three-run homer, and you're in a 3-0 hole, and you never make that up. But, you know, I also know... You know, 2020.
Why is it always home runs? Like, it feels like with him, he makes a mistake. They always take advantage of it. Well, yesterday, it was a 3-run and a 2-run mistake.
Part of the reason it's home runs is he has good control, meaning he is in the strike zone. I mean, this used to happen to Curt Schilling a lot. If you don't walk a ton of guys and your approach is, I'm going to challenge dudes, and I'm going to put that ball over the plate, guys are going to hit home runs at times. And here's what I know. And again, I love Nola. But, you know, 2023, end of the season, you know, he got that game six, didn't come through. Last year, postseason, he got that game three when it was 1-1, headed up to New York, didn't come through. I see a guy like Luzardo pitch. We know we're going to see Sanchez today. We know Ranger at his best can be phenomenal. And it just strikes me like it's going to be a fat. Look, the only guy that we know for sure, barring injury, there's only one guy that's guaranteed to be in the postseason rotation, and that's Zach Wheeler. He's the only one. The other four guys, it's a free-for-all amongst those four to find out which three get to start in the postseason. And the thing that hit me, you know, yesterday in relation to Saturday is it's going to be a battle, man. Luzardo was really, really, really impressive. Now, look, I'll say this. My early sense, and sometimes you can kind of just feel these things, is that if they're all healthy come October, Ranger, bullpen. Because Ranger has bullpen capabilities, he's done it before, you know, that whole thing. But let's be real, guys, if Ranger gets healthy and is great, that's a decision. And Aaron Nola, now, I know, guys, there's 159 games to go. There's no freak out here. I'm just telling you, it's a good problem to have. But the days of Aaron Nola being the definitive two on this team may be done. And then I wonder if he's not the two, is he the three? If he's not the three, is he the four? What is he? Look, we'll see Sanchez today. We'll see what we've got. In many ways, it's a good problem, but I wish Nola was a little sharper. Because the Nola that entered the postseason, the first couple starts of 2022, and the Nola that entered the postseason, the first couple starts of 2023, that guy was awesome. That guy felt like he was, if you remember, John, kind of close to Wheeler. Like 1-2, Wheeler-Nola, or Nola-Wheeler. And it feels like the longer time's gone on, there's been separation, right?
It feels like everyone else has come in here and they've shoehorned their way in between Wheeler and Nola.
You get my point. So I'm curious what stood out to you from the weekend. Obviously, the Nola-Lizardo thing was a big factor. What do you make of it? 215-592-9494. James, biggest takeaway from the weekend, the fielding, the hitting, the pitching, Rob Thompson, couple injuries. What hit you, James?
Yeah, I'll give a positive and negative. I think the negative is Trey. Just, you know, obviously we talked about the performance on Thursday, whatever. It's the getting scratched late with back spasms, not being in the lineup yesterday, probably not in the lineup today. Like, not the start to the season you wanted from that guy. I mean, we've talked about how important it is for him to live up to that contract this year. And, you know, just a really terrible way to start the season. On the flip side, and we talked about this a little on Friday after the opener, but it seems like this team has a different vibe and mentality this year. They do seem more intense. Like, they're not doing the goof around stuff as much. It seems like that was a purposeful way to come into the season. And I appreciate that. Like, I want to see them be intense, to take it seriously, to, like I said, be a good team all year long and not just start hot, focus on this, that. Yep. Like, just be a good baseball team.
So let me ask you this.
I appreciated that.
What about the Sunday thing where it didn't feel like there was as much intensity yesterday?
Maybe
it's Aaron Nola and part of his personality translates to everyone else out there.
Nah, I don't buy that.
Come on. We've seen it time and time again with this team. And I'm not complaining. It does flummox me at times when they got two under their belt. And it's a series against an inferior opponent. Let's sweep it. I know I know sweeping series isn't like the goal in baseball.
No, it is the goal. Of course it's
like
the goal.
It's asking a lot.
Especially when you're facing a bad team. I just don't make the jump that you made. But James, back to your point that you think there's a focus. So one thing that we obviously saw this weekend, daycare done. There's no more post-game dumping this, dumping that in front of the camera. Did anything else give you that impression?
It's just the way the guys talked after the games. You know, it was nothing particular with the play, but it just feels the way they're carrying themselves, the way they're talking after the game. Like, it just seems more serious than it's been.
Okay. Look, we'll take your reaction to it all. 215-592-9494. As, of course, we also get ready for the home opener today. Rhea, biggest takeaway from you for the weekend?
They can't hit lefties. That's what I mean, all of their runs came against the bullpen. You know, they got the one run yesterday. But I'm with you. Lizardo was so impressive.
He was fantastic.
I mean, I just and fiery.
Yeah.
Like, I like that about him.
So, look, there was a lot positive. There was certainly some negative. I'll give you a negative that hit me on the weekend. It looks to me like the Phillies' depth in the bullpen stinks. Felt like every time or near every time that they went to one of the, you know, backup reliever guys. I mean, John, it was kind of a high wire act with some of those dudes. So,
a lot of traffic.
A lot of traffic and a lot of runs. I mean, so look, all right, there's a lot. We waited a long time for Phillies baseball. We got it. Your chance to react. 215-592-9494. We'll also get you set for the home opener, which is today at 3:05. But phone calls from the weekend, sense of excitement and anticipation for what's up ahead today, and also the tush push. We'll get into that throughout the program. That's a big topic, man. It's been a big advantage for the Eagles. It may stay, but it may go. We'll talk about it. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is, of course, on the home opening day, 94 WIP. Well, I appreciate that acknowledgement of my presidential aspirations. Hopefully I got the big voice guys vote.
Well, let me ask you a question.
What?
How often do you think a president has worn a full team's uniform to their game? Because, you know, that's happening.
That wasn't an actual player.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, not like Dwight Eisenhower, who played it at Army.
Yes,
he was
yes.
He played
a costume,
football at Army,
as we like to call it. Yes.
So, it is a costume complete with gloves. He's got the batting gloves on in studio.
Yep. While
trying to write with a pen with the gloves.
In the words of Andy from Deptford, we live. We hot.
Are
we?
Not sure about that.
No, I'm not either. But I tell you what I am sure of. Our show actually is on YouTube, and you can watch our show live on YouTube, hopefully hot on YouTube, right now. Subscribe to Sports Radio 94 WIP. Be sure to turn on your notifications and never miss a show. You can watch the show live. You can also watch it back after it happens later in the day. Yeah, I've got the uniform on. Proud of it. I mean, you know, I mean, let's be real. I'm a ball player. I'm a ball player, ladies and gentlemen. If they need help today.
A pretend ball player with the costume.
A little bit of a pretend ball player. A little bit of a pretend. But you know what? It's about Philly's enthusiasm. It is the home opener.
That is official looking. And it is a quality piece of.
Oh, yeah. Really, no, it is. Yeah.
It's the identical uniform that the players wear out there on the field.
It's the uni. So I do feel kind of like it to work. Like the first person I really do. First person I saw this morning was the guy at the front desk downstairs here in our building. Like you see, like because I see no one until I see that guy, and it's like, all right, here we go, here we go.
And what was his response?
Well, he was so tired, I think there wasn't much.
Yeah, sometimes his eyes are heavy.
But I mean, look, I'll be down at the ballpark today. I hope to meet hundreds or thousands of you. I mean, put it this way. It's not hard to find me. I'm the dork walking around in the uniform.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hope to see you today if you're headed to the ballpark.
I was not expecting it when you showed up.
Yeah, you started cracking up, Rhea.
I was like, oh my God.
I rounded the corner and Rhea started cracking up. So, look, it's about Philly's love and enthusiasm. But also, as we know, it is a little ridiculous. All right, 215-592-9494.
It's also very clean.
Well, it is clean. It's the first time it's been worn this year.
Dry
so
clean.
Yeah, dry clean indeed. All right, let's get to the tush push thing. So you heard it from Ray in the update. I mean, there's a lot going on there. So here's the deal. You got these meetings going on now. I mean, when I say now, they'll resume later today. The vote is scheduled for tomorrow. And this is something that felt like, John, you go back, a week ago, it felt like it wasn't going to pass. Like, there was no momentum. And we wake up today after hearing what was reported, you know, yesterday. And it's like, wow, maybe this thing will go. So let me read from an article on ESPN.com. Big article, ESPN.com. It says, the Green Bay Packers' proposal to ban the tush push has support within the competition committee, a source with direct knowledge told ESPN on Sunday. Another source with direct knowledge of competition committee thinking said the proposal would be, quote, hotly contested among the coaches, general managers, and owners as they gather for league meetings this week. The league office staff presented the rule proposals during the football operations meeting Sunday afternoon, and two sources in the meeting described the back and forth as heated regarding the proposal. Story goes on to say, during the Sunday afternoon session, Philadelphia Eagles general manager Howie Roseman, assistant GM John Ferrari, and two head coaches on the competition committee, Sean McVay of the Los Angeles Rams and Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills, gathered in a hallway outside of the ballroom to have a private and animated side conversation about the Packers' proposal.
Oh, yeah. Howie Roseman giving him...
Get some facts and come back and see me.
So, like, this thing... Like, we're going to find out in the next 48 hours whether this thing stays or goes. John, I'm surprised it got to this point because it felt like it was safe. You guys know. I think the tush push should go. Now, I don't say that as an Eagles fan. I say that as a football fan because I do think it's got that rugby thing to it that I don't dig. But, John, what's your reaction to this... This is a pretty big development, man. This has been a very big advantage
no
for the Eagles.
There's no way this happens if the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl last year or whatever, a couple months ago. This is just it's a shame that it feels like they're taking advantage of this opportunity to remove this play because it does give us an advantage. I acknowledge that A.J. Dillon, Saquon Barkley hand the ball off to them in a goal line and short yardage capacity, and you can probably get a lot of first downs doing that too. But this play really simplified everything for us.
Yeah.
This play changed the way we approached offensive football.
It did.
Four downs consistently.
Eagles felt comfortable going for it in their own territory.
No question.
Deep in their own territory.
Deep,
So this changes everything if it's removed.
Yeah.
And the part that I have the biggest problem with is they're trying to say it's a player safety thing. Like, please, just be honest about why you're doing it. You're doing it because you want a better chance to beat us. That's it. You can't say this is about player safety when zero players have been injured on this play. historically in 2024 on the tush push.
According to data.
So don't be telling me that, that you're concerned about injury.
Yeah.
That's BS right there.
Yeah, I think that part is BS. James, does this take you off?
Yeah, of course it does. It's just, it's so soft and weak. Like, we used to be a country. Like, what are we doing here? Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, it's too hard. Oh, we can't stop it. Like, it's nonsense. To Richie's point, if they had real data that says whether it's injury, whether it's ruining the game in some form or another, like viewership is down because whatever, that's a real thing that you can point to. It's just sour grapes. And that is not the way sports should be. To your point about changing, you know, sports to make them better, like the neutral zone trap and all that, that changed the whole sport. There's a couple plays a game that people are crying about.
You're going to use a different word there.
I was. Yeah. It's so nonsensical.
Well, look, it might go. Now, I tend to think it'll survive because it requires 24. There's 32 teams, obviously. It requires 24 of the teams to zap it for it to go. And that's a tough threshold. I mean, three quarters or more have to say, you know, three quarters have to say, okay, we want it out. And, you know, we know the Eagles are one. They're going to say, let's keep it. So you only got to garner seven more votes. That's not, or I guess eight more votes you have to get to nine to keep it. That's not, you know, that hard a climb. But maybe it'll go. I mean, Rian, your update there, Jeremy Fowler was saying he's hearing that it's more likely to go than not.
Yeah, one GM told him that. So and
that's
to me,
wild. That's a wild development over the weekend.
It is, because we all just kind of assumed it. But if Howie's having an animated conversation,
he's
in
worried.
Full view, yes, in full view of reporters, he's concerned.
And I don't think he's on that committee. I think the other two are on that committee. McDermott and McVay are on the committee. The Eagles don't have Howie on the committee. Sirianni's not on the committee. I don't know how many people are on the committee, but I don't know that they have a voice.
Well, I think it's 24, right? Because they need eight of 20.
No,
need...
everyone has a vote, but I don't think everyone's,
everyone's
on the committee.
It's not they need 24 out of 32, my bad.
It's not 32 committee members. So you get to vote, but you know it's being discussed, and you can tell based on this report that Howie's got concern because he won't go to that. It's like a jockey in a horse race. You don't whip the horse unless you're coming down the stretch, and you got to freaking win. So, you know, I don't know, man. How about that for a horse whipping analogy?
Well, you are a jockey family. You know, we know this, yes.
You know a lot about that.
All right, so look, we want to hear your reaction to this report on the tush push. Do you have fear that it may go? Are you with John?
It feels like we're being railroaded. Well, I mean, it feels like they've got us where they want us right now. We're not in the on that, whatever you'd call it.
The driver's seat.
Yeah,
I know.
Are we in that meeting room? Are we in that decision-making process?
They get
it's
a vote.
Crazy.
They get a vote. They get one of 32. Look, 215-592-9494. If you agree with John, James, and Rhea that it should stay, and maybe agree with James the way he framed it that he's ticked about it, let me hear from you. If you're with me that you know it would hurt the Eagles, but do think as a football fan it should go, want to hear from you. And what's your reason? Just give me the reason on either side. Why it should stay, why it should go from your perspective. 215-592-9494. All of that, obviously, in addition to the Phillies from the weekend. Phone calls coming next, including also your chance to win Chris Brown tickets today on the show. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. Well, a star man might not be the only thing waiting in the sky today. So too could be some rain. That's a whole nother aspect of this show in this day that we're keeping our eye on. Because the game starts at 3:05. The rain is scheduled for around 5. And I saw a report yesterday that's calling it heavy rain, flooding, possible isolated tornado.
High winds.
To hit Philly Regional Monday. Which does make me wonder, why didn't they just announce yesterday if they're moving the game up an hour or two? I just thought that was weird.
No brainer in my mind. I'm with you.
Right?
Yeah, especially because they've done that before. They've
Correct.
Set that precedent already.
Successfully.
Exactly. Yeah.
So well, they also know that this is going to be coming through later.
Well,
right?
5, that's, you know, anywhere between the 7th to the, you know, 6th.
You're saying
sixth
just
to
be
inning.
Safe, make sure you push it up. And
it just seems smart to me. Like, I don't know.
Kinda, yeah,
I don't know
I
all that goes
you.
Into the logistics, but it just struck me like, if you can move it up an hour or two, why not? Now, you can't do that today. You can't announce that with, you know, 8 hours until the game. I mean, you got to make that announcement yesterday. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of strange.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. There is a lot going on. Phillies weekend, your impressions.
We didn't say Bryce Harper yet.
No, what did he get? 4 hits over the weekend, I think?
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, did a lot of good stuff.
But we didn't mention. He was awesome again. Schwarber was awesome, sort of like igniting things on Thursday. We're going with, geez, that seems like it was forever ago.
No, I get it. I get it.
Man, long weekend. It feels like a long stretched out weekend, and it's hard to keep track of which game, what happened, where.
I know. But I agree with that.
But the general consensus was that this team, the approach was really solid. The offense that we were so concerned about, they were
well. To be fair, John, a lot of their runs scored were still courtesy of the home run.
Well, the problem is it was late.
We can't ignore that.
Also, it feels like the scoring happened a lot later than I would have liked. You know, if it would have transpired the way I would have hoped, it would have been a little bit of small ball.
Right.
You know, guys moving around the bases, we're stealing a little bit more, and then home runs. They just add to the good time. It felt like this was a lot late after starters were removed from the game.
That's true.
Let's hope that's not a trend.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. So the Tush Push and the Phillies, and obviously opening day or home opener, which is coming up in a few hours. Nick right now. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Great, Nick.
So a couple comments. Jody Camera being a baseball player, that's a tough scene. I don't know about that one, but that's a tough, tough scene right there. Number two, the Tush Push. You know what? The problem with people is that they're soft. If you don't want to play football and you understand it's a contact sport, do what I do. Go play golf or go play basketball, because basketball, you can't touch anybody anymore. In golf, no one's tackling anybody. At least I don't hope so. I just don't understand why people are so petty that because they can't stop a play that shows zero injuries, you think that you can call it player safety, which we know the league really doesn't care.
Look, I think that part might help the Eagles, Nick, honestly. I think the way it was presented, actually, the hypocrisy of it can be called out by individuals in that room, and that might save it for the Eagles. I mean, I think we all know it's about two things, really, why teams are motivated to get it out. One, the Eagles are phenomenal at it. Most teams aren't. And the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. And two is that for a lot of people in America, and I am one of them, it's not a play that a lot of people enjoy watching. That's just a fact. So, but what's interesting is the proposal by the Packers doesn't say either of them. So
no,
it's going to be fascinating to, you know, will we ever find out in the room what was the tenor of conversation really about? Was it the Mickey Mouse injury thing or what the basics of it are? Teams struggle to stop it, and a lot of people think it looks not like football. That's the heart of the matter.
And I'm sure we'll find out more as it continues on. But to just to get to my Phillies point,
sure.
A couple quick comments. Bryce Harper continues to be the star. I think even though I wasn't a big fan of the offseason moves, it shows that actually Lizardo, I feel like, going to be a very key piece. I mean, coming in, double-digit strikeouts, first at-bat, I mean, first start. And the great thing is that he's all fired up. I mean, I think he's just happy to be a Philly and be in the thick of it. And then my other comment is, aside from, you know, some of the star players, that I'm going to tell you, Bone's going to continue to shine. He's making more contact on the plate more than anybody else. He's like the double machine. And if he keeps hitting these hard balls and doing good approaches at the plate,
the double play hurt though yesterday.
Yeah, that was tough. I mean, it's always like a Philly thing.
It was the biggest out of the game. I mean, it kind of effectively really hurt things. All right, Nick, always good hearing from you, my man. Appreciate the phone call, John. You were down on Bowman in the offseason. Are you glad he's here? You really wanted him gone.
I had major issues with the fact that it felt like he just fell apart. And I know that he has incredible talent offensively. You know that I don't buy in as much as you do to the, he's a good third baseman now.
Yeah.
You know, it's always an adventure. But, man, he's so talented as an offensive player. The guys have talked about the fact that they didn't want him gone. They want Alec Bohm to be here, yeah. And he's helped them already this season offensively.
One thing to me that's notable on the first weekend, and not a surprise, because generally this has been the case, well, was the case last year, but because for a while there's been the three righties that are normally hitting behind Bryce, and it's usually either Bohm, JT, or Castellanos. They've all had a crack at it. They've all had a lot of games at it. I mean, all three, and it used to be Reese Hoskins, you go back further back. Mm-hmm. But since Reese left, it's been Bohm, JT, or Castellanos. And it's notable, and I think the correct call by Rob Thompson, that out of the gate, he wants that guy to be Bohm. Now, Bohm had to move up to two because Trey got hurt, and it's like, all right, you got to shuffle right. The lineup. But the bottom line is, of those three, and you can make the case over the last 3 years or so, they're comparable hitters. They all go up, they go down, you know, but like equal-ish. And what Rob Thompson's telling you is the one I believe in the most for this year is Alec Bohm.
Right.
And I agree with him.
Well,
I totally agree with
that. He's the guy who seems to be able to make it happen most consistently. You know, he gets up there. It feels like you can count on him to drive guys home. The numbers prove it, that he gets guys home with runners in scoring position. He gets hits.
He hit it the other
guys.
Way.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, it's you asked me how I feel about him being on this team.
Yep.
I'm glad he's here from an offensive perspective. There's no question. I am concerned about the way that he melted down.
I am too.
And it's not the first time he's melted down. Yeah. I couldn't believe he melted down last season at that juncture, so late in the year, at this juncture, so late in his career. I mean, he is old enough that he shouldn't be struggling.
Well,
like
he came up in 20. So last year was his fourth year in baseball, or his fifth year in baseball. So that was a disappointment.
Yeah.
All right, by the way, when you call in today, so the tush push could go. We'll see if it does. You've got a shot to win Chris Brown tickets. Chris Brown, pair of tickets to see Chris Brown, the Breezy Bowl 20 Tour at Citizens Bank Park. It's happening this summer, August 16th, coming up near the end of the summer. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. on April 3rd. That's obviously in a couple days at Ticketmaster.com. That's at Ticketmaster.com. So in honor of the tush push, which obviously is a phrase that utilizes a body part, we'll ask you today at 215-592-9494. Give us a phrase or a title that somewhere in there has a body part in the phrase or the title, like the tush push. John Ritchie, when you think of a body part, and again, this goes for everyone, ladies and gentlemen, for Chris Brown tickets at 215-592-9494, a body part in the title or phrase, John, what hits you?
Bite your tongue!
Oh, yeah.
Joe DeCameron.
You're right. That's a pretty big one. You know, James, that might just make the drop war with how much you screamed
that. Yeah, he really screamed that. That could be useful. I like that.
What if I start using that back at John when he's talking out his hiney?
Oh.
You see what I just did right there?
Yes.
There are a lot. I really didn't realize there were that many until I started rifling. We started rifling through before the show. So you got two right there. Bite your tongue and talking out your hiney. James, give me another.
Yeah, I'll go with one I hear a lot with a six-year-old, basically anytime we're walking down the street. Step on a crack, break your mother's back.
Yeah, that's a classic. When you're young, that's a classic. Rhea, give me what you got there.
The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Yeah, and it was a great movie,
too. It was a great movie.
Yeah, it really was. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Hank right now. Hank, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Hey, real quick, YouTube feature that you guys have is perfect. I love it.
Oh, cool. Good.
You guys.
Good, man.
Thanks, Hank.
No problem. All right, so tush push.
Have you seen it today, by the way, Hank?
Yeah, yeah.
So how's the uniform look?
I mean, to call in.
We get now instantaneous reaction into what one of us looks like. In this case, most notable today, I've got the uniform on. What do you think?
So YouTube is perfect.
That sounds like a negative vote for me.
And you guys responded to me and told me to call in, so I figured I would.
You got
but real quick, the tush push, I mean, what are we doing here? Absolutely no, don't ban it. For what? I mean, at the end of the day, if you're another team and you can't stop it, do your homework. do your homework and figure out a way to stop it. Kudos to the teams that actually went back to the drawing board and actually figured out a way to stop it every now and then. But you can't say we're going to stop track runs when, because, you know, Saquon is pulling off 30, 40-yard runs on them or whatever the case may be. You know, just because we're good at it, figure it out. Find a way to stop it. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, so no, I don't say don't ban it.
Well, listen, I tend to think you're going to get your way, but I don't know, man. I mean, this thing's, it does feel precarious from an Eagles standpoint that there's momentum building for it to go.
You say you tend to think that Hank is going to get his way, meaning
I, like, do.
You don't think they will outlaw the tush-push?
I think it'll be kept, but, like, let me put it this way. Sirianni came out yesterday and said he feels pretty confident that the three guys that were his assistants will vote for it. And they are Steichen, Gannon, meaning to keep it.
Right.
Steichen, Gannon, and
Kellen Moore.
Now, if he gets those three votes and has his own in his back pocket, that's already four. He would only need five more from the whole league to get to nine and be safe. So I tend to think it stays, but I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
we'll see.
That's like saying, hey, let's stop the Hail Mary because Aaron Rodgers used to be the king.
I know.
I mean, come
and,
on,
and by the way, here's the flip side I'll say on that Steichen, Gannon, and Kellen Moore thing. Just because Sirianni feels like that those three individuals might want it kept and might honor their tenure with the Eagles and Sirianni and Howie helping them in their career, doesn't mean the owner of that franchise, who gets the vote, by the way. Okay, the owner's owner. Doesn't mean the owner's going to go along with his head coach. So I don't know. Maybe it will go, Hank.
Yeah. And real quick, my answer. I don't know if this applies, but what about 007 GoldenEye?
Yeah, it's a title.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a title.
There's
a movie
called GoldenEye.
That's what I just said. It's a title of a movie.
Yeah, I agree.
You felt the need to reiterate.
I didn't hear you say the movie. I heard you say it's a title, so I was jumping
in. I'm joking around, man.
There you go.
All right, 215-592-9494. That's true. If you involve movies and books and all that, then you open up a whole nother genre. Holy mackerel. All right, by the way, we've got not one, but two different Twitter poll questions of the day, at least this hour. Both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. All right, first poll question. Do you think the tush push will get banned tomorrow? Tomorrow's the day. That's when they vote. Do you think it gets zapped? Yes or no, will it be banned? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Also, John, you will remember from Friday's show, we could not figure out by the end of the show which was the best movie duo. I mean, we had so many tremendous answers. So we have now put the movie duos. We're going to have a different poll each hour from Friday's show. 9 o'clock hour, you'll solve it, courtesy of voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Here are this hour's choices to advance to the 9 o'clock hour for best movie duo. Is it Doc and Marty from Back to the Future? It's pretty big.
That's, big one.
Pretty big. Is it Mike and Marcus from Bad Boys? That's another big one. Is it Maverick and Goose from Top Gun? It's another pretty big one.
Cow.
Now, Goose only makes it about two-thirds of the way through the movie, so it doesn't really show up at the end.
But that's not Goose.
I know, I'm joking. Or is it Woody and
You're
Buzz?
Actually going to hold it against Goose?
I'm going to hold it against Maverick for flying into that jet stream that, that caused the spin-out. Or is it Woody and Buzz from Toy Story? All obviously really, really good choices. Get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We'll have a different poll each hour, and then we'll see which ones advance to the finals in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's also get to the Got a Door and Window to the weekend, because there was a lot going on this weekend in addition to what we've already discussed. Got a Door and Window received 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 6 years to pay off interest-free. Call Got a Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GOTTA. You can also visit GOGUIDA.com. All right, what else happened this weekend we haven't discussed? Well, Final Four is set, obviously, and the Dukies, the only one I have in the Final Four, still alive, John, so at least they got that going for me. But I know a lot of people have been enjoying.
So you're cheering for Duke? You're a Duke fan? Now?
I'm cheering for more chances, I guess, to see Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, maybe he's, you know. All right,
He's really good. Like, he lived up to the hype for
me. Yes, he sure did.
He really did. Like, I was, you know.
So, James, guess who still hasn't seen him play?
You?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
That's why I need more chances. Yesterday, I was like, Duke better win. So I
You're
get to...
missing out, man. He's awesome.
He's really good.
He's awesome.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's so big.
Yep.
He's so smooth.
And he does everything. Like, yeah, he's running all over the court.
The whole package.
Yeah. I was so impressed.
Okay. All
right. You're running out of time, Joe.
I know. There's either one or two games left.
Exactly.
All right. What else this weekend? We'll get to the Yankees thing as we move forward. There's a lot there. Villanova's got a new coach. Speaking of college basketball, Kevin Willard, and this comes with some controversy.
Oh, a little bit.
A little bit. I'm a big Nova fan. A lot of people in the Maryland region, but also across the nation, not happy with his exit from Maryland. The way it went down, the fact that they were just in the tournament. A lot of people think he was talking to Nova while he was there. Jay Billis weighed in yesterday on ESPN. Let's listen to this. Jay Billis with a big accusation. Listen to what Billis said.
I don't have a problem with Kevin Willard making this move. That's great. Any coach should look to better himself or herself based upon the circumstances and based upon business. These are business decisions. But one thing you don't hear from the NCAA literati, from the administrators, from Charlie Baker, you don't hear tampering. Nobody's saying there was tampering here. This is a coach under contract that a member institution tampered with without permission from the University of Maryland.
How about that? He's saying no one's saying it, but
that's
I'll say it.
Heavy accusation.
I know it is. All right, so look, your reaction, including Nova fans, your thoughts on the new coach. Obviously trying to get more back to the Jay Wright days than, you know, what's going on the last 3 years, which was not good. 215-592-9494. Also up ahead, we'll get into the Yankees thing. It is a controversy.
It's a thing, dude.
They just hit another home run.
I know.
It's a real thing.
If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll detail it next. It is a wild development in baseball. Wild. What it is, we'll tell you next. Plus your calls on the Phillies home opener, the Phillies series, obviously, from the last 3 days, and also the tush push. Thumbs up or thumbs down on getting rid of it. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.